Let's go to John 3 quickly. And I believe I want to read that out of a... I can get this to flip. Well, there we go. Out of the Amplified Bible. So you can follow along in your King James. John 3, starting verse 16. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten unique Son, so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on him shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world in order to judge, to reject, to condemn, to pass sentence on the world, but that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through him. That the world might find salvation and be safe and sound through him. And of course, John 13, verses 34 and 35 in the Amplified Bible read, I give to you a new commandment that you should love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. You need to think about that for a minute. When we love one another, all men, the world, will not think. They will know. Without a shadow of a doubt, they will know this group of people must be disciples of Jesus Christ. Because look how they love. The scriptures say when you love one another and when you keep on showing love among yourselves. See, love is not a one and done deal. It's not. It keeps on going. Keeps on, like, what's that saying? It's the gift that keeps on giving. Okay, that's the way love is. It just keeps on going and going and going. And one thing that I have found out and am finding out, that as I operate in love, all these other characteristics show up. I'm serious, like long-suffering and kindness and gentleness. Even when I don't want to be gentle, it just shows up. Okay. What? Because I've caused a change in this body. I've caused a change in this thinking of mine. I've caused a change in this heart of mine, where the first thing it wants to do now is love. Not get even. It wants to love. Not give a piece of my mind. It wants to love. Not tell somebody off. It wants to love. Not tell you about yourself for your own good. Okay. It wants to love. Remember what Pastor Clinton said once? He said, that's why some of us act so crazy. We're going around giving people a piece of our mind. We have no mind left. Okay. But we really know we're not going to teach on love tonight. But really, every time we get in front of you, we're talking about love because we're talking about Christ. All right. And he is love. And since he is in us, we should be love. Amen. Would you go with me to 1 Corinthians? Because we're going to continue talking about unity of the body. And as always, Father seems to show it to me in ways I never thought possible. But then, if I thought it were possible, I would be him, and I'm not. So, but I'm just going to read. I'm going to read verse 8 in the Message Bible, and I'm going to read verse 18 in the King James Message and Amplified Bible. 1 Corinthians 12. Okay, in the Message Bible, it's something that he highlighted on Sunday. He said, each person is giving something to do that shows who God is. each person. Verse 18 says, but now has God set members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased who? Him. As it has pleased him. Turn to the neighbor and say, I thought it was to please me. No, don't say that. Don't say that. Okay. The Message Bible says, as it is, we see that God has carefully placed each part of the body right where he wanted it. And the Amplified Bible says, but as it is, God has placed and arranged the limbs and organs in the body, each particular one of them, just as he wished and saw fit and with the best adaptation. So God has placed us in the body in positions where we can do the most good, where we can bring out the most, the best in everybody. And he's done it carefully. Carefully. He didn't just, you know, throw us up in the air and see where we land. He carefully played. He had us all placed before the foundations of the world. He knew it. And he saw us in position. And we found out on Sunday that we have to stop trying to fit in. Because a fit does not mean that it is a match. It just means it fits. And we did that, remember the illustration we did with the puzzles? You know, you have these puzzles, they're cut from the same mold, even though they have different pictures on them. And because they're cut from the same mold, all of the pieces are interchangeable. But all the pieces don't belong together. And it's the same way with us. While we may be interchangeable, we don't all belong in the same place. Sometimes we get ourselves misplaced on purpose because we don't like God's placement. So we go and we place ourselves where we want to, and we wind up with a mess. And guess who we have to go back to fix it? Aren't you glad that God is God? Because he doesn't, at least with me, he hasn't said to me, didn't I tell you not to go over there? Now see, that's what you get. Okay, he's never said that to me. I may have said that to some folks, but God never said that to me. And he said to us on Sunday, it's not about where you fit, it's where you belong. And we have to stick with God's plan regardless of the cost. Regardless of the cost, we have to stick with God's plan. I want to show you just a couple of things. All right, I'm moving along, Lord. Okay, look at Amos 3. Very familiar. Amos 3. Verse 3. Are you there? Let's read it out loud. Verse 3. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Okay. Can two walk together, according to the concordance, unless they meet or assemble by appointment? That means they have to plan to do it. Right? Can two walk together unless they have the same views and emotion? Can two walk together and get along? Can two walk together coming into one mind or one opinion? See, that's what we have to ask ourselves. If we're going to walk together, there has to be similarities, not differences. We have to, if we're not thinking the same thing, how are we going to stay together? We may start off together, but I can branch off to the right and you could branch off to the left. Someone else can go north. Someone can go south. Why? Because they want to. Well, I don't agree. Well, there goes the unity. There goes the unity. Because it shouldn't be dependent on what I want. What should it be dependent on? On the instructions that we received from our commander-in-chief. What did God tell us to do as a body? as a body. Remember, we talked about that, I believe it was Sunday evening. When God by the Holy Ghost says, everybody stand and give praise, doesn't mean 98% of us stand and give praise. It means the whole body stands. You know, I thought I was going to end telling you this, but he said tell you now. Because he told me something last night, because lately, I don't know, God has not been allowing me to get to sleep until 3 o'clock every morning now. Okay. In fact, I'm ready to go to bed, and then he starts talking, and I pull out my iPad and I start writing. And he asked of me, you know, some of the weirdest things. And I guess that's because that's how he made me, I guess. But he asked me, he said, you know who Usain Bolt is? And I'm like, it's 1:30 in the morning. You want to talk about Usain Bolt? You know. And he said, well, who is he? I said, he's a sprinter. He won gold medals at the Olympics. He said, right. And when he went to the medal stand, did his legs go up there by themselves? And I'm like, no. You know, it's like, is there a point here? I'm tired. I'm being honest with you. I mean, that's the way my father, that's why we convert. He said, it took more than his legs to win the gold medal. His heart had a big part in it. It had to be pumping so oxygen would get through his body. His lungs had to be working properly. His core muscles had to be strong and do their job so it held him in the proper position. His arms had to work in sync with his legs so he could maintain that momentum. His ears had to work properly so they can hear the command, start. His eyes had to be working properly so he didn't run into a wall. All of these things had to be working in conjunction. His brain had to keep working. To just tell everyone, okay, all right, pick up the pace here, let's get going. And he had his memory had to work. All of his senses had to work properly. That's why his whole body got the gold medal. And God said that that's the same way it is with this church. Every single part has to perform at its optimal capacity, capability. Every single part so that we get to the medal stand. He said, individuals aren't going to go. The whole body gets the gold or the whole body doesn't. And it's not dependent on God. It's dependent on whether or not we do our parts as individual components of the body. Of the body. That's what he told me. Because we're only going to get there if everyone cooperates with what God's plan is for this place. And he has handpicked every single person in here, been placed here by God's hand, every single one. And he had to go through some different iterations to get us here. Everybody has a story as to how they wound up here. But it was all God moving, all God positioning, and with some of us repositioning and repositioning and repositioning. But the bottom line is, he got us here. So now we're here, and the next thing is to come up with the same emotions, the same goals, the same thoughts, the same ideas, the same purpose, his purpose. So how do we know what his purpose is? Well, that's easy. Because he gave pastors who he speaks to. And you know what they do? They tell you. They don't keep it a secret. They tell you. God said, this is the direction that we're going. And everyone huts to and goes in that direction. Everyone. But God showed me some unique things he did. And one of these days he's going to let me go according to the way he had me write it. He said, yeah, one of these days, but it's not today. So let's go to Judges. Judges 7. This may be the only one we get to tonight. But he was showing me some things about Gideon and Gideon's army. Let me get there. Judges 7. I was going to read it electronically, but I need to read it in my book. Then, beginning with verse 1, Judges 7, then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. The Midianites were not their friends. The Midianites were their enemies. Okay. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people that are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Too many. Remember what we read earlier? God is going to give each person something to do that will show who God is, not who you are. It's going to show who God is. And God said, you have too many people. Too many people. They're not going to see who I am if you go out with all of these people. Now, therefore, verse 3, go to proclaiming in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. That means let him get out of here quickly. Okay. And there returned of the people 22,000. And there remained 10,000. So Gideon started out with an army of 32,000 men. 22,000 of them were afraid. 22,000. We're going to get talking about that, a little more about that in a minute. Okay. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people are yet too many. And I'm imagining what Gideon is thinking. Okay. Because he's looking at the Midianites. And if you read, I believe in chapter 6, it says they were like grasshoppers on the hills. There were so many of them. And he's like, I got 32,000 and God on my side. And God is, nope. And now I got 10,000. Okay. And God's saying, there's still too many. Still too many. He said, I will try them for you there. I'll test them. And it shall be that of whom I say to you, this shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of whomsoever I say to you, this shall not go with you, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone that laps of the water with his tongue as a dog laps, him shall you set by himself. Likewise, everyone that bows down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest, all 9,700 of the people, bowed upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand, and let all the other people go every man to his place. Now God just took a 32,000 man army and reduced it to 300. Why? The 32,000 weren't in unity. He says, well, how can you say that? Well, they were going into battle, and 22,000 of them were afraid. How are you going to go into battle with folks that are scared? What are they going to do when the pressure comes? They're going to turn tail and run. They're not going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord unless they have eyes in the back of their heads, because they'll see it as they're running away. God knew that. And God said, can't do it with these people. I haven't placed all of these people in your army, Gideon. This is how we're going to weed them out. So there were 31,300 who were not handpicked, because God reduced 32,000 down to 300. 300. And then he did something else. Think about this. I'm going to read it because I'm getting ahead of myself. See, whatever the reason, God will give you an assignment. And he knows what it's going to take to fulfill that assignment. And he puts you in a group, in a company of people. This is your assignment. You're not willing to do it because you're afraid. You're afraid. What happens to the victory? Your person may be the one that breaks through and just causes a mess. Doesn't mean we're not going to experience a victory, but it means it might take longer than it should have. It said, no, everything's going to happen in God's timing. Oh, really? So God wanted, planned for the Israelites to wander 40 years in the desert. No, they did that because of their what? Disobedience. It happened, but it didn't happen when God wanted it to, because of the people. And God said, you have too many people with you, Gideon, that are afraid. Too many. We have to get rid of them. But then there's another bunch there. He said, everybody that drinks water like a dog, okay, like a dog, you can't use them. And I was like, they're out, you know, they're thirsty. You know, they're probably walking along. You fall down. You put your face in the water. I see it on TV all the time. What's the big deal? Well, when you study that out, which I never did before today, you find some interesting things, Blair. Some very interesting things. You find out that dogs, when they're out there and they go to a river to get water, sometimes they're crocodiles in the water. So they don't just go and drink. They're very timid. Very timid. Almost like when you see the movies and you see the lions or Thompson's gazelle. They'll go down and jump back. And they jump back. And then after a while, they say, you know what? Forget this. I'm going somewhere else. And God is like, now wait a minute. Wait a minute. If they're going to be that timid, how are they going to fight in the battle? Or, it's another thing to think about. Maybe they never received basic training. They were never trained. Or worse, they forgot their training. Now that they're out there and they're so overcome, they forget all their training and just dive right in, start lapping up water. God says, when I call you for a specific purpose, there's training that goes along with it. And no matter what happens, you need to stay consistent to the way you were trained, because that's what will ensure your victory, because you will do and act as you have been trained. It's how many of you go to dinner and you just get so hungry, you forget about the knife and fork. You just go and start eating. Okay. Well, that'll get you a smack on the head and some other places, especially in my house. Excuse me, in Miss Ruby's house. Okay. I know she's been dead for a number of years, but she made it perfectly clear it was her house. Okay. No, you use it. You've been trained how to use silverware. You've been trained. But God said, you have these men, Gideon, that either they're tentative, they've never been trained, or they forget their training. Can't have that. Because I'm going to give you some very specific instructions on how to defeat the enemy, and it requires precision action. God is going to give us and has given us some very specific instructions to occupy from Grandview Avenue to Middletown Road, starting with the Sears building, but it's going to take everyone operating in precision. Everyone. When he says move, everyone has to move. If you are tentative about it, well, you know, I know Pastor Ed said that God told him, and, you know, but God didn't tell Pastor Ed, Pastor Greg, and Pastor Sarah at the same time. He told Pastor Ed, and then eventually Pastor Greg got on board, but, you know, but that's normal. I mean, come on, they're both pastors. They got to be in agreement, you know, about it. But I don't know about that. Because why would God say that, and then they start this construction, and I've been looking in the newspapers, and they're talking about all the stores that are going in there, and so I'm not so sure about this. You need to go home. You need to go home. You're not fit for service because you're tentative. You don't believe that God will do what he said. See, that's one of the reasons I believe he wanted those men. No, go. They're too tentative. They don't believe that God's going to come through. You can't go together in unity if you're not believing the same thing. We all have to believe that God will do what he said he will do. What's the lyrics of that song? He will stand by his word. He will come through. And so because we choose to believe that, We're not tentative. We just go. If the command is you're thirsty, go drink, we just get down to the water and just start drinking. We're not concerned with anything being in the water. Why? Because if there's something in there, first of all, our Father wouldn't tell us to go. And if it was in there, he's already got it under control. Doesn't matter what comes out and jumps at you, it's going to go back the same way it jumped out, with an empty mouth. He's not going to be you in its mouth. But if you're tentative, when soldiers are tentative, well, let me say it to you this way. When our youngest son came to me, after rejecting the opportunities to go to West Point, he enlists in the Army, and he's going to drive a tank. And he said, well, what do you think? And I didn't tell him what I thought, because that wouldn't have been encouraging. But what I told him, I gave him something to think about. I said, well, son, you're driving a tank. Yes. Okay. You get a command. You're out patrol with your tank and all the men around you, and you see this farmhouse, and have all these children playing in front, same age as Itaya, his oldest daughter. Same age. They're out there playing, they're turning rope, and you get the order, light up that farmhouse. And you know if you light up the farmhouse, everybody in front of it is going to die. What are you going to do? He thought about it for a few moments. I said, too late. Too late. You just got all your men killed. He said, what? I said, when the order comes through, light it up, you aim and fire. If you can't do that, you don't belong in the Army. Am I right, Dick and Tony? Right? That's the way it is. So if God senses, or actually he knows, that there's this army assembled and you have people in there that are tentative, can't use them. Because when he says fire, you got the fire. That's not the time to go and load Find him. That's the time to just bang. Just go. Just go. As was shared on Sunday, look, everybody leave and go over and march around the mall area. Just march around, just throwing up a hand saying, thank you, Lord, for this gift. And you're like, oh, no, but I got to do this and I got to do that. And I got, no, you're tentative. You got to go. No, but you understand. I got to get to work tomorrow. Well, you're tentative. We have to be to the point when God says go, we just go. And don't think about anything else except our instructions from him. Otherwise, we get sent home because we're not ready for battle. And so Gideon thought he was, I mean, I would also, if I have 32,000 and I know God's on my side, hey. See, Gideon was tentative from the beginning, but God didn't look at you, a mighty man of valor. And he's like, I am? Yes, you are. Okay. But now I have 32,000 men. You know, that helps me. But God takes away 31,700 of them and leaves you with 300. And what I like is Gideon didn't even sweat it. They did exactly what God told them to do. And when you read that story out, some of the enemy killed themselves. they just got so afraid, they started slashing anything moving. What? Why? Because Gideon now had 300 men operating in precision. When I shout, you shout, you crash the lanterns. Everybody did exactly what they were supposed to do when they were supposed to do it. No hesitation. None. They experienced a victory. What is it that's causing you to hesitate? That's what you have to ask yourself. What is causing you to be tentative? What is causing you to forget your training? What is causing you to be afraid? You're the only one that can answer that. And you need to pull it out and come face to face with it and get rid of it. You're going to have to build your faith up so that nothing shakes you, no matter what it's called, no matter how it comes packaged. Right now, it appears that in this congregation, the enemy is shooting sickness and disease at people. And not just regular disease, he's giving it an adjective. He's saying terminal. And folks are forgetting who they are. They're forgetting that Father already knew this was coming and already has the answer, and they're not asking him. They're not asking him. Because the enemy is also trying to deplete this army. But he's not, see, at least God sent them home. The enemy wants to send us back to our spiritual home. He doesn't want us on this planet. Because he knows what will happen. We stay on it. You stay in for it long enough, you're going to get it. So he's coming after you, and he's coming after you. He's coming hard after you, after us, folks. But it's nothing to fret about. Because since we know who we are, and we know we've been hand-picked and hand-placed, what is there to fret about? What is there to fret about? The Father, see the enemy coming on the left flank. What do you want me to do? And whatever he says, you do it confidently. Not, I hope this works. You might as well not even do it. Seriously, you might as well not. Father, what do you want me to do? I want you to take the next 15 minutes and just give praises to me. Right in the middle of them, let them see you. That's what you do. Come out into the open. Thank you, Lord. I give you all glory, all the honor, all the praise. And next thing you know, they're gone. You're still standing. But you can't be tentative. You cannot be tentative. You cannot forget your training if you really want to win. And the other thing that we have to do, I want to take about 5 minutes and share this with you. You can't be concerned about who you're sharing a foxhole with. It shouldn't matter. You have to let go of opinions. You have to let go of thoughts. You have to let go of preferences. And you have to just stick to the person God placed you with. Moses gave God all these reasons why he could not go to Pharaoh. And God answered all of them. Finally, he was like, well, God, I don't talk too good. Okay. And God said, but you have a brother. And that was the first time Aaron's name was mentioned in the Bible. So I started thinking, what was this relationship like between Moses and Aaron? Did they have a relationship? I don't know, and the Bible's not saying. All I know is God said, take your brother. You'll put the words in his mouth, he'll speak. And I'm thinking, what if they weren't speaking to each other? Now what happens? What if Moses did something to Aaron, and Aaron never forgave him? And now it's like, Aaron, God said, don't talk to me about what God said. You're dead to me. Now what? Now what? So if there was, and I'm not suggesting that they were, I'm just saying, what if? But if there was anything between them, they had to settle it. Why? Because God gave them an assignment. And what God wanted them to do took precedent over their own personal feelings, whatever they may have been. We don't know who God's going to pair us with. 20 years ago, I didn't know God was going to connect me to Pastor Ed, and he didn't know God was going to connect him to me. 20 years ago, we didn't know. I'll go back even further. And I told you that before. When I was 15, and my bus was stoned because the folks in Howard Beach didn't want us over there. I didn't know God was going to later on connect me with a Caucasian person. Enemy was trying to build up a hate in me for him then. Because he knew. He knew. I didn't understand it. But God knew. He knew. So we can't afford to have any prejudices whatsoever because God is going to use someone that's going to equip you to do what he's called you to do, and that person may not be someone that you are accustomed to hanging out with. But you better get rid of your customs and just learn how to latch on. You need to have to eat rice and beans. Make sure Edna's cooked them. Okay. No, but do you understand what I mean? God has got this thing all worked out. He already knows the combinations. He already knows the alliances. He already knows the organizations. He already knows the denominations that he's bringing. He already knows, and it's up to us to put aside all the differences, regardless of what they may have been, and link arms with those of us who have like precious faith, who want to go on and do this thing the way God said to do it. Pastor Ed and I, we had a meeting today where we had to share similar. Because the enemy comes in to try and separate. Yeah, even in the church environment. Imagine that. Why not? Why not? Well, you have to do the same thing. Forget differences. You know what's the worst thing that we seem to do to each other? worst, it's at least become the absolute worst for me. You know what it is? Have a pre-existing thought about an individual. So someone comes like, Lord, here you come again. I mean, that's what it is. God will say, I want you to talk to someone you like. Lord, I'll do any penance you ask. But not them. Lord, what did I do? Whatever it is, I repent. No, you're going to have to get rid of it, because that person is going to do one of several things. They're either going to equip you, energize you, or clean you out. When I say clean you out, all that ungodly stuff that's in you, they're going to expose it, and now you have to deal with it. You have to get rid of it so that you can take all... See, when you have stuff in you, there's no room for ammunition. I mean, that's right. Got candy in your ammunition belt, you in trouble. Okay, so God's going to put you with people. You know, we say this with our friends, folks we like. We go, yeah, iron sharpens iron. Yeah, that's true. Even if it's somebody you don't like, they still iron, and they still gonna sharpen you. As a matter of fact, you'll probably become sharper because they're not gonna take it easy on you. Okay, they gonna okay, and you gonna finish. You gonna be, as they say, you say, you're gonna be sharp as a tack. Okay, why? Because God wants us to be like his word, sharper than any two-edged sword. And he's going to take other people. Friction makes things sharper. You're going to actually get to the place where you welcome it. You welcome it. You're going to see that person come, you're going to say, glory to God, I'm about to get sharpened. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Because I know once I get sharpened, you're going to send me out and we're going to put some serious cuts on the enemy. And you welcome it. Welcome the training. It's not going to happen, though, folks, if we don't understand that we're supposed to be in unity first with God and then with one another, because we can't be in unity with one another if we're not in unity with what God said. And one of the first things he said to us, what he had Jesus say to us, was a new commandment I give you. Love one another. Why? Because if I love you, I'm not holding anything against you. And I will readily receive you regardless of the condition. So yeah, God allowed an exodus from this place. He allowed it. He may have even caused it. Why? Why would he do that? Because some were afraid. Some were tentative. Some were acting like they weren't being trained. Some refused to be trained. And God said, I don't need 2,500 to do this thing. I can do it with 5. I'm God. I can do it with 15 if I need to. But he has handpicked all of us. Caused us to stay. And poured some things into us that are just supernatural. Just supernatural. The way you folks give is supernatural. It is. It's supernatural. The way you love one another is supernatural. Why is he causing us to do these supernatural things? Because the way we're going to acquire them all, the way we're going to acquire all the property from Grandview Avenue to Middletown Road, is supernatural. And guess what? The supernatural is not going to be foreign to us. And because it's not foreign to us, it'll be happening, it'll be manifesting all of the time. And because it's manifesting all of the time, folks are going to want to come in to see. What is this going on? We need to take all these prophecies and visions that God is sharing with us. We need to take them to heart, and we need to rehearse them, and we need to expect to see them every time we come. Why? Because we believe what God said. Every single one. So when Pastor Clinton got that vision, and he said the fire department came because they thought the place was on fire, because outside it looked like it was on fire, and it was just the praises of the people and the worship of the people inside, that's going to really happen, folks. That's going to happen. You have to believe it. You have to expect it. And when you come out to praise, you got to act like you're the kindling to cause it. And you'll see it. Can't be afraid. Can't be tentative. Have to be strong in faith. Nothing wavering. And we'll have to walk together. Because we all agree that it's so. When the sayings, what is it? And so it is. How do you say that? It is so and so it is. It is so and so it is. Needs to be our attitude. God said it. It is so and so it is. He called us to be in unity. So it is. We're in unity one with another. Say, I'm not afraid. I'm not tentative. I've been well trained. And I don't care what comes. I'm not going to forget my training. That's it. I'm unhooking. I'm done because I'm rewinding and I don't want to. Because I'll save it for Sunday. I'll save it for Sunday. Folks, I know we say this often. I realize that. But if there's anyone that has aught against anybody about anything, you need to let it go, and you need to let them know that you've forgiven them and you've let it go. Can't afford to have any stuff. You cannot afford to have it. You have to be willing to link up with whomever God says. We're one body. And contrary to what you think, you are not going to be the only one standing on the medal stand. Either the whole body's going to be there, or the whole body is not. Because one part is totally dependent on the other part. I don't care how strong Usain Bolt's legs are. If his heart wasn't in it, they ain't going anyplace. I don't care how strong his heart is. If his eyesight went, he's not going to know where to run to because he won't see anything. Well, in here we have eyes, we have ears, we have hearts, we have muscles, we have tendons, we have fingernails. You know, if I don't want to be a fingernail. Why? How many of you have ever had an itch on your back? Didn't those fingernails feel good? Okay. Glad you had them, didn't you? All right. Even they have a purpose. Have a purpose. So fine, if God says you're a fingernail, be a fingernail. You have a purpose. Whatever it is that God says, this is your part, be willing to do it. Proudly. Proud, not grudgingly or of necessity. Well, I'm proud that I'm a fingernail. As a matter of fact, if I'm the bottom of the pinky toe, okay. That's fine. I have a purpose. I'm going to help provide balance. Whatever it is, whatever your part, accept it and stay in harmony with the rest of the body. I'm trying to get away again. He won't let me. Okay. This is really simple, folks. It's really simple. Just look at the person to your left. Look at the person to your right. Look at the person behind you. Look at the one in front of you. There is one in front of you. Okay. And say, Father, you're right. I need every one of them.
I need every one of them.
I mean, that's what it is, folks. We need every one. Every one. Dude, look at the person to your right. Yeah, you're right, not mine. Look to the left. Looking back. Look in front. Say, yes, Father.
Yes, Father.
I love every one of them.
I love every one of them.
Look at them to the right. Look at them to the left. Look behind. Look in front. Say, yes, Father.
Yes, Father.
They love me too. Look to the left. Look to the right. Look behind you. Look forward. And say, yes, Father.
Yes, Father.
I'll pray for them.
I'll pray for them.
That's how the body stays unified.